Good evening and welcome to another episode of Brush Up Your Shakespeare, where we make Shakespeare fun and easy, the way it was always meant to be. This is episode 11, and today we will be commencing with Act 3, Scene 1 of Hamlet. And in this scene is the single most famous soliloquy in all of Western literature. Yes, it is time for To Be or Not to Be, which brings us to our line for today. The line for today is, to be or not to be. That is the question. Say it with me. To be or not to be. That is the question. And one more time. To be or not to be. That is the question. Well, the tension is really cranking up as Claudius, the new king of Denmark, is trying to find out why Hamlet is acting so strangely. Is Claudius just concerned for the mental welfare of his new stepson? Or is he concerned that Hamlet's sudden change of behavior may signal Hamlet knows that Claudius killed his brother and Hamlet's father? But we are getting ahead of ourselves. Hamlet knows that a ghost that looks like his father, the recently deceased king, has appeared to him and told him that his brother murdered him in his sleep by pouring poison in his ear. But Hamlet is not sure whether this is really his father's ghost or whether it could be a devil only pretending to be his father. And ordering Hamlet to avenge his murder by killing Claudius in order to damn Hamlet's soul for eternity. A band of wandering actors have arrived at the castle, and Hamlet has secretly arranged with them to put on a play that very night, in which the murder of his father will be enacted. Hamlet will watch Claudius closely to see if he reacts, and if he does, Hamlet will know the ghost is speaking the truth. In the meantime, King Claudius and Queen Gertrude, Hamlet's mother, sent for two old school chums of Hamlet to come to Denmark and see if they could figure out why Hamlet is acting so oddly. The attempts of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, though, are a bust. They cannot get from Hamlet anything that would be helpful, and we find them reporting this as the curtain rises on Act 3. The king says to them, "And can you by no drift of conference get from him why he puts on this confusion?" Rosencrantz responds, "He does confess he feels himself distracted, but from what cause he will by no means speak." See, it's a total bust. So much for Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. Thanks a lot for your help, guys. Rosencrantz and Guildenstern do report that Hamlet seems enthusiastic about the troupe of players and that he has arranged a play to be performed for the king and queen that very night. Polonius confirms this. "'Tis most true," Polonius says. "And he," Hamlet, "and he beseeched me to entreat your majesties to hear and see the matter." The king, Claudius, says, "With all my heart, and it doth much content me to hear him so inclined." So Claudius appears happy that Hamlet is at least enthusiastic about a play, and he will definitely be there in order to support his stepson Hamlet. Polonius, the king's counselor, is certain that Hamlet's madness is caused by unrequited love for his daughter, Ophelia. Polonius has arranged for Ophelia to accidentally run into Hamlet and observe their interactions from a hiding place where Polonius will be with the king. And here we have a slide with some of that dialogue on it from Hamlet, Act 3, Scene 1. So the king says to Gertrude, "Sweet Gertrude, leave us too, for we have closely, or secretly or privately, for we have closely sent for Hamlet hither, that he, as 'twere by accident, may here affront Ophelia. Her father and myself, lawful espials," or in other words, lawful spies, "will so bestow ourselves that, seeing unseen, we may of their encounter frankly judge, and gather by him as he is behaved, if it be the affliction of his love or no, that thus he suffers for." And then Gertrude says something to Ophelia that is quite unexpected. She says, "I shall obey you." Of course, that's to the king. "I shall obey you." But then she turns to Ophelia and says, "And for your part, Ophelia, I do wish that your good beauties be the happy cause of Hamlet's wildness. So shall I hope your virtues will bring him to his wonted way again, to both your honors." And Ophelia says, "Madam, I wish it may." The reason I call this unexpected is because you may remember that both Ophelia's brother Laertes, as well as her father Polonius, already told Ophelia to have nothing to do with Hamlet because he, being the prince, was hopelessly out of her league. But here is the queen herself telling Ophelia to her face that she hopes it is unrequited love for her that is driving Hamlet crazy, and that she hopes the two of them will get together and restore Hamlet to his senses. Again, Polonius gets it wrong. And again, we see that Polonius is not as wise as he thinks himself to be, and that his chief tactic in gaining information is simply by spying on people. So that it will not seem too suspicious to Hamlet to simply run into Ophelia, Polonius gives her a book and tells her to read from it as she walks about, so it won't look like she is waiting for Hamlet to arrive. Polonius says to her, "Ophelia, walk you here." Then he says to the king, "Gracious, so please you, we will bestow ourselves." In other words, we'll hide ourselves. Then he turns to Ophelia again and says, "Read on this book. That show of such an exercise, i.e. reading a book, may color your loneliness or make it appear that you're not just hanging out waiting for Hamlet to drop by. You're just wandering around reading a book, and the meeting with Hamlet will seem accidental to Hamlet." A cunning plan. Then as Polonius and the king are getting ready to hide, Polonius pops off with one of his old sayings that makes him consider himself wise. And Polonius says, "We are oft to blame in this, 'tis too much proved, that with devotion's visage," visage is a face, "that with devotion's visage and pious action, we do sugar o'er the devil himself." Here, Polonius is simply saying that we frequently cover up our evil deeds by pretending to be righteous, just as Ophelia is going to cover up the fact she is lying in wait for Hamlet by pretending to read a book. But the reaction the king has to this simple observation is astonishing. In an aside to the audience, Claudius says, "Oh, 'tis too true. How smart a lash that speech doth give my conscience. The harlot's cheek, beautied with plastering art," in other words, makeup put on carefully to make herself appear beautiful, "the harlot's cheek, beautied with plastering art, is not more ugly to the thing that helps it," i.e. the makeup, "is not more ugly to the thing that helps it than is my deed to my most painted word. Oh, heavy burden," he said. What on earth? What did Claudius just say? What Polonius said stung him to the quick? Up to this point, there is nothing Claudius has done or said to lead us as the audience to believe he actually did kill his brother. Until now. Everything he has done appear to be the words and actions of a solid, balanced leader of a nation. But now we know. We know that Claudius actually did kill his brother. And we know because Claudius essentially confesses it to the audience in this aside. Claudius likens a harlot's makeup to the righteous appearance he himself puts forward, hiding his evil deed and appearing to be something he is not. But we also see that Claudius is not a sociopath, but actually does have a conscience that is suffering mightily for what he has done. In this way, Shakespeare lets the audience in on the secret that up to this point, only Claudius knows. Well, Claudius and the ghost, that is. And this knowledge will dramatically change how we view the next scene in which the play is performed before the king and how he reacts. But there is still more of this scene to be played out. And indeed, no sooner do the king and Polonius hide themselves than Hamlet enters and begins the most famous soliloquy ever written. "To be or not to be," he says, "that is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against the sea of troubles, and by opposing, end them." We are not going to go through the entirety of this soliloquy in detail in this episode, but I do plan on doing a separate episode after this where we will go into this soliloquy in depth. For now, all we need to know is that this soliloquy is an extended meditation on suicide. The world is crumbling around Hamlet, and he seeks escape from these slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. There is only one place he can go to escape, and that, of course, is death. Or as he puts it, to take arms against a sea of troubles, and by opposing, end them. Ultimately, Hamlet decides that although suicide may seem to be an escape from present troubles, it may leave open his soul to other troubles far worse in the eternal world. After death, the undiscovered country from whose born no traveler returns. There are two primary ways in which this soliloquy, and indeed this scene, is portrayed. The first is a straightforward meditation on suicide. The second is that Hamlet knows he is being observed by the king and Polonius and is giving a performance for them to make them believe Hamlet's thoughts are tending this way. Perhaps Hamlet saw the king and Polonius hiding themselves as he approached. Perhaps Ophelia does something to give away the fact they are both being observed. Or perhaps Hamlet is just completely familiar with Polonius and how he operates. After all, Hamlet did grow up in the castle. He was to the manor born. And we will learn later that he's 30 years old. Hamlet has had plenty of time to figure out what Polonius will do to pry his way into Hamlet's secret. Just as Hamlet knew almost instantly why the king and queen sent for Rosencrantz and Guildenstern to come visit him. And here we observe that although Polonius gives Ophelia a book to read, so it won't look like she is just hanging around waiting for Hamlet to come by, it was only in the very last scene that Polonius happened to stumble on Hamlet while Hamlet was also reading a book. Remember? Words, words, words. Was Hamlet waiting for Polonius while pretending to read a book the same way that Polonius now has Ophelia reading a book so Hamlet won't know she is waiting for him? Has Hamlet been one step ahead all along the way? Regardless, the choice one makes as to how to play this scene will have a distinct impact on how the scene is performed by the actors and how it is received by the audience. And indeed, much the same could be said of other scenes as well, this simply being a very good example of such. But back to the play. Hamlet concludes his soliloquy and happens upon Ophelia. Hamlet proceeds to be very cruel to Ophelia, and it is the Hamlet in this scene that is the hardest Hamlet to love in the entire play. This is the Get Thee to a Nunnery speech, where Hamlet tells Ophelia she should become a nun and have no sex and thereby have no children. Hamlet says to her, "Get thee to a nunnery. Why wouldst thou be a breeder of sinners? I am myself indifferent honest, but yet I could accuse me of such things it were better my mother had not borne me. I am very proud, revengeful, ambitious, with more offenses at my beck than I have thoughts to put them in, imagination to give them shape, or time to act them in. What should such fellows as I do, crawling between earth and heaven? We are errant knaves all," and errant means absolute, and knave is, of course, a villain. He's speaking for mankind. "We are errant knaves all. Believe none of us. Go thy ways to a nunnery." It is helpful to remember that, in addition to everything else going on in Hamlet's life, He has not seen Ophelia for many a day, since she cut off all communication with him. So when Hamlet tells Ophelia he never loved her, I loved you not. He is not just being senselessly cruel. He is defending his own heart against the damage she inflicted. Hamlet suddenly asks Ophelia, "Where's your father?" Does Hamlet already know the answer? That her father is right there spying on them? Is he giving Ophelia one last chance to be honest with him, to prove her love for him? And if so, what must Hamlet think when she tells him a lie? Ophelia says, "At home, my lord." With those words, Ophelia may have shut the door on Hamlet's love for her. And Hamlet responds, "Let the doors be shut upon him, that he may play the fool nowhere but in his own house." The sadness of this scene is if Hamlet still loves Ophelia and Ophelia still loves Hamlet, which I think they both do. Ophelia cannot tell Hamlet she loves him because her father has forbidden their relationship. Hamlet cannot tell Ophelia he loves her because she has rejected him suddenly and without explanation. And this rejection, together with his mother's quick remarrying after his father's death, has led Hamlet to have a distasteful attitude toward the entire institution of marriage. Hamlet says, "I say we will have no more marriage. Those that are married already, all but one shall live. The rest shall keep as they are. To a nunnery go." At this point, Hamlet exits the scene. All but one? It is obvious Hamlet means Claudius, and that Hamlet is making a not-so-veiled threat on Claudius's life. Hamlet is becoming reckless. If Hamlet knows the king is spying on him, he is threatening him directly. If he knows Polonius is spying on him, Hamlet knows this message will make it back to the king. And if Hamlet believes it to be only Ophelia present, she may well carry the message back to her father, who will then tell the king. Claudius and Polonius come out of hiding. One thing is clear to Claudius: Polonius is wrong again. Hamlet's madness has nothing to do with love for Ophelia. And Claudius has decided to send Hamlet on a trip to get him out of Denmark by sending him to England to collect the tribute owed by England to Denmark. The king says, "Love, his affections do not that way tend, nor what he spake, though it lacked form a little, was not like madness. There's something in his soul, or which his melancholy sits on brood, and I do doubt the hatch and the disclose will be some danger, which, for to prevent, I have in quick determination thus set it down. He shall with speed to England for the demand of our neglected tribute." Polonius agrees, but asks the king to allow him one last strategy to figure out what is eating Hamlet, which, of course, is the only strategy Polonius seems to know: spying. After the play that evening, Polonius will hide in the queen's chambers and observe her interaction with Hamlet while the queen is being round or blunt with him. Polonius says, "My lord, do as you please, but if you hold it fit, after the play, let his queen mother all alone entreat him to show his grief. Let her be round with him, and I'll be placed, so please you, in the ear of all their conference. If she find him not, or find out not what it is that's going on with him, if she find him not, to England send him, or confine him where your wisdom best shall think." And the king says, "It shall be so. Madness in great ones must not unwatched go." And here ends Act 3, Scene 1. Hamlet has a play to attend that evening, in which he hopes to discover once and for all whether Claudius really did kill his father, and whether Hamlet must follow through on murdering Claudius to avenge his father's death. Claudius, on the other hand, has been at work trying to find out why Hamlet is acting so strangely, doubtless concerned that it might have something to do with Hamlet suspecting Claudius of murder, Claudius has learned that it has nothing to do with Hamlet's love for Ophelia, nor can Rosencrantz and Guildenstern get from Hamlet the secret as to why his behavior has suddenly changed. Perhaps a change of scenery is what Hamlet needs, and perhaps a sea voyage to England is just what the doctor ordered. In the meantime, there is a play to attend that evening, where the king and queen, Hamlet and Ophelia, and all the court will be in attendance. What will happen when the players enact how Claudius murdered the king is anybody's guess. But Hamlet will be watching closely, as will we. Now, does anyone remember the line for today? That's right, to be or not to be, that is the question. Once again, to be or not to be, that is the question. And the third time's the charm, to be or not to be, that is the question. Well, that's about all for tonight. Remember, please hit the like button, please hit subscribe, please leave a comment below as to your thoughts and ideas, and please share with family and friends. And please join me again next time for Brush Up Your Shakespeare, where we make Shakespeare fun and easy, the way it was always meant to be. Thanks for joining me. Good night, all.